Yesterday we began to discuss the laws of Shofar, so let's continue discussing some of the laws of Shofar. Now, it's a little bit of a side topic. What happens if there's a Bris Milah? We just discussed now Bris Milah. Maybe that's why I got so intrigued with the Bris Milah. What happens if there is a Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, I'm sure it must have happened to everyone here at some point in time where you're in a shul or someone, a member of the shul, has a child, a grandchild, and there is a Bris Milah. When is the appropriate time to make a Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah? We had this discussion. We discussed it very, very briefly, I think, last week. And the question, first of all, the question revolves around that today, generally, people don't view the Bris Milah as part of a ceremony in the Beis HaKnesses, which is very unfortunate. Because from Chazal, it seems pretty clear that a Bris Milah is meant to be a portion of the davening. Like I told you, today, many places, you're invited to a Bris Milah. They tell you, not so much in Brooklyn, but certainly in Lakewood, it's very, very common when you're invited to a Bris Milah in Lakewood, and they have their Baruch Hashem, they have an explosive population growth, and there, it's extremely common when they invite you to a Bris Milah, you daven yourself, wherever you want to daven, and show up at 8 o'clock or show up at 7:30. And some of the popular halls have a minion factory. There's a minion factory in another section of this building. And there is a room where they have the Bris. And what happens? You come there, they start with the Bris Milah. And immediately after the Bris Milah is done, they sit down to a su'udah. And the Bris Milah is not part of the davening. They just, the father and the sandik are wearing their talis and tefillin, as correct. And the moil and the avi haben, and they start baruch haba, v'chulu, and they have the Bris Milah, they say aleinu, and then they sit down to the su'udah. That's not, without question, that's not the ideal thing to do. The ideal thing to do is to have the Bris Milah in the Beis HaKnesses, in Shul, and it's actually a part of the davening. It's a chelik of the davening. Ad kadei kach, that you don't even, that the Nikra Adin, it appears that you're not supposed to say Aleinu. Davening is not over until the Bris Milah is over, and the Aleinu that we say when a Bris Milah is over is really just the Aleinu you're only supposed to say Aleinu once. It's the Aleinu that was meant to be said when davening is over. It's just that before you say Aleinu and you say the Yoim, you do the Bris Milah. And if you're doing a Bris Milah during Psukei Dezimra, it was the custom for the shul to sing together V'choroi Simo Habris. There are certain sections of the davening which we elaborate, which are given more emphasis. That is the way it was traditionally done. The Bris Milah was a chelek of Shachris. Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker, Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzvois. That principle is applied very specifically to Bris Milah. Shachris we apply, Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzvois. It's done together and it changes the entire Nusach of Davening. Who gets the Aliyah? Does the Moel get the Aliyah? Does the Aviyah Ben get the Aliyah? It's a different davening. I'm not prepared now to tell you all the differences that are supposed to be done during davening when there's a Bris Milah, but it's clear as day, it's a chelek of the davening. Unfortunately, like I mentioned, today it's not. Today, somehow, even when you do have a Bris Milah in shul after davening, it's almost like it has nothing to do with davening. It's almost very rare a shul today, they're going to sing together the Charosim HaBris. It's very rare that they're going to make shinuim in the nusach ha-tfilah. They're going to finish the davening. They're going to say aleinu. They're going to blow shofar. They're going to say ladavid. They're going to say kaddish yasim. There's going to be a delay of 10 minutes until the moel gets his act together and everyone is ready. Everyone is there. And then baruch haba. And then it's like a new ceremony. Unfortunately, that's the way it has evolved today, where it's been extracted from the nusach ha-tfilah and made into its own separate ceremony. But again, it's not the way it was meant to be. L'may nafgamina, Rosh Hashanah, and also Purim. Rosh Hashanah and Purim are two very significant days where the bris milah is moved up from, instead of it being at the end of the davening, it's pushed into the middle of the davening. And let's now, the Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to talk about Rosh Hashanah, but let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. The ideal time to do the bris milah is right before Tekiah Shofar. Why? Because we want to be maskir the bris of Avram before Akedas Yitzchak. Now, in other words, this whole idea is very revealing. It's very insightful. The Akedah. Whose Akedah are we emphasizing on Rosh Hashanah? There were two partners in the Akedah. There was Avraham and there was Yitzchak. Avraham was the one who was told, Kach no, es bincha, es yechidcha, asher hafta, es Yitzchak, v'lech lecha. He was tested. V'ho Elokim nisa, Hashem tested es Avraham. Yet, in the Nusach HaTzvilah, Avraham is almost not even mentioned. Uzachor, the Akedas Yitzchak, Lezaroi Brachamim Tizkar. At the pivotal moment in the Nusach HaTzvilah of Zichroinos, Avraham Avinu disappears. Gone. The Akedas.
Where you say Bris Avraham?
Akedas. We stay in the Slichos. Excellent. You see, you're touching upon something very, very powerful. Erev Rosh Hashanah is Avraham's day. Rosh Hashanah is Yitzchak's day. There are two partners in Bris Milah. And this is going to be a very big nafkamina in the Bris Milah itself on Rosh Hashanah. There are two partners in the Akedah. There are two partners in the Akedah. Number one, Avraham, he was tested. Number two, Yitzchak. You know, if you were Yitzchak, can you imagine Yitzchak? Your father comes to you and says, my son, I want to have a conversation with you. Please sit down. I want to tell you something. God came to me and he told me that I should sacrifice you to him as an offering. Now, I don't know about you. If I was that child, I would say, Dad, have a nice day. I would call up a mental institution and I would run for my life. God revealed himself to you. So very good. He didn't reveal himself to me. No one came to me and told me that I should give up my life to Hashem. And as far as I know, there's no such thing in this world as human sacrifice. Everything they taught me in Cheder, what is going on? What in the world is going on over here? It's one thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, but how in the world does Yitzchak accept the demand of Avraham Avinu that he should be a sacrifice? Wasn't Yitzchak suspicious? Maybe Avraham Avinu, you know, how old was he? He was 100. And how many years he had him when he was 100 years old?
137
years old. 137 years old. Avraham Avinu was 137 years old. Today, if a man 137 years old comes to you and says that God came to me in a dream and told me that I should sacrifice you as his offering, the conversation would end very quickly. And you would write off the person as having some problems. You would send them to the doctor to get some medication.
That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says that. What gave Yitzchak the right to let himself be sacrificed?
To be sacrificed. So obviously there's a lot more going on in the Akedah than just Voho Elokim Nisos Avraham. And many of the commentators tell us that the Nisoyon for Yitzchak was even greater than the Nisoyon for Avraham. At least Avraham Hashem spoke to directly. Yitzchak Hashem did not speak to. Yitzchak, it was pure trust. Pure, unadulterated trust in his father. And that's not to be believed. That degree, we take it for granted because we've been living now for 3,000 plus years. It's built into our DNA. So for us, it's a piece of cake. But if you go and you take a non-Jew, a person that has no connection to any of this, and you tell them the story, and they think about it, they don't believe you. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, you'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avraham Avinu. We don't even know what that means, a communication. But Yitzhak did not have any communication. And for Yitzhak to have emunah pshuta in his father, who was 137 years old, that it's meant to be that he should be a sacrifice, a human sacrifice to God, this is the nesoyon of Yitzhak is beyond our wildest imagination. To have that kind of emunah, even more so than Avraham Avinu. In the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah, not Erev Rosh Hashanah, of Rosh Hashanah, we come to the Akedah, and Chazal say that we're supposed to blow shofar. What is the shofar? The shofar represents the Akedah. What is it about the shofar that represents the Akedah? The Eloi Shel Yitzchak. This ram, which was the replacement of Yitzchak. It doesn't say the Eloi Shel Avraham, the ram that Avraham selected to replace Yitzchak, the offering. We call the Ayil the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. Avraham's name is not associated with the Ayil, even though the whole Akedah is all a test to Avraham Avinu. It's the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. Ephroi Tzavur Lefanav, the ash of the ram, which is the replacement for Yitzchak, is piled before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a permanent reminder. The Nusach HaTfilah makes it crystal clear on Rosh Hashanah that the focus is Yitzchak. Va'akedas Yitzchak lezaroi brachamim tizkar. The Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak. It doesn't say the nisoyon of Avraham shall be for us a zuchus on Rosh Hashanah. We don't mention Avraham's name in the Musaf. We mention Yitzchak's name in the Musaf. We focus on his nisoyon of believing his father, that what he's saying is true, and his will to go through with it, to give up his life. Contrast that with Erev Rosh Hashanah, where the Nusach HaTfilah is Zichor Bris Avraham. Now we mention Yitzchak also. We do mention Yitzchak, but if you look at the Nusach HaTfilah very carefully, we'll daven Erev Rosh Hashanah, you'll pay close attention. The emphasis is the Bris Avraham. And the Bris Avraham, the Kavna Avraham, which if you read the Nusach, it means the Akedah. Okay? It doesn't just mean the Bris Milah, it doesn't just mean the Bris Ben Abisarim. The Bris Avraham means, according to most of the commentators, and it's in the Nusach as well, the emphasis Avraham Avinu. So we want to point out is that it's a given, davar pashut, davar yidua, that the Akedah has two different elements. There is Vohelokim Nisa es Avraham. It was the 10th Nisayon to Avraham Avinu. Number two, there's a very different element to the Akedah, Yitzchak. And obviously we are very happy to have both. Okay, no one's very happy to take in our hands both Avraham's Nisayon and Yitzchak's Nisayon and cherish it and use it to exploit it as much as possible to our benefit. No kidding and no holding back. Yet, if you'll pay close attention to the Nusach HaTfilah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, as we come near to Rosh Hashanah, the emphasis is Avraham Avinu. And on Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar, the emphasis is Yitzchak. Why is it like that? Good question. You can think about it. It's not whatever it is. Now, that's not the point I want to make now because they're both there. The point I want to make is Bris Milah. Because Bris Milah, the Poskim say, Bris Milah is not Yitzchak. The Bris Milah is pretty much exclusively Avraham. Why? Because Yitzchak was a baby. Yitzchak didn't know what's going on. I mean, you'll tell me Yitzchak was a Madrega, you know, before Matan Torah, he knew what was going on. Fine, very happy. But that's not the way we look at it. We look at it in a very simple perspective. We look at it from our eyes. Yitzchak is 8 days old. This kid doesn't know what's going on. He has no clue what's going on. He's not the one, he's not a decision maker in the Bris Milah. The only decision maker in the Bris Milah is the father. Mitzvahs habein al ha'av. It's a mitzvah that's done to an object called a child. Who has the mitzvah? The father has the mitzvah. The mahus of bris milah, it's a mitzvah to the father. The child is just a heftza, just an object. You do the mitzvah on a lulav, you shake a lulav, the child is just an object. That's really what it is. I know it doesn't sound very nice, but that's how the mitzvah is defined. It's Avraham, we're dealing with the bris milah, the zuchus Avraham. So the place gives something very, very fascinating. There's chronology in this world. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken came first. What came first? It's Rosh Hashanah. Bris Milah is part of davening. Let's go back to a pure world before the 21st century, when everything was pristine. Bris Milah is part of the davening. Rosh Hashanah, a very unique davening. We blow shofar. Shofar is all about Yitzchak. It's the Akedas Yitzchak Lezaroi Berachamim Tiskar, the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. The Akedah, the Chelik of the Akedah of Yitzchak's Nisayan. Bris Milah. Oh, today's the Bris Milah. Look at that. Someone had a baby 8 days ago. And today's the Bris Milah. And the Bris Milah is done during the evening. What is Bris all about? Avraham. Who comes first? Avraham or Yitzchak? Avraham comes first. Then comes Yitzchak. So even though during the year, during the Yemos HaShanah, we do the Bris Milah at the end of davening, but on Rosh Hashanah you can't do the end of davening because you have to go in order. And Bris is Avraham, Shofar is Yitzchak. Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, we go in order. We first invoke the Zuchus of Avraham, and then we proceed to invoke the Zuchus of Yitzchak. So the Bris Milah should take place before the blowing of the shofar. Now, where do you do the Bris Milah? If you can, it's very, very nice. In fact, some people, it's a very big Zuchus. You know, everything in life is always a question, is it a burden or is it an opportunity? It's when you go through life, it's like a video game. In some video games, the goal is to avoid the obstacles. And in some video games, the goal is to pick up prizes on the way. As you travel along the road, you have to pick up prizes. Life is like a video game. The Taryag Mitzvahs, are they burden? Are they obstacles? You have to just swerve and not get caught up, get stuck with the mitzvah. Or are mitzvahs opportunities to pick up gold coins and score high? It's Rosh Hashanah. There's a Bris Milah. For some people, oh no, what a burden. Now we're going to be stuck in davening for another half an hour. It's a burden. That's a horrible thing to do. The Bris Milah, Adaraba, this is an opportunity to enhance the davening. That now we're going to have the Zuchus of Avraham preceding Akedas Yitzchak. It's a golden opportunity. And when you look at it like that, Adaraba, the rabbi will say to the congregant, don't have it in the house. How dare you? How dare you deny us the opportunity to invoke the zchus of bris before the akedah? You have it in shul, like you're supposed to. We'll accommodate you. Okay, this year, I don't know if they're going to want to accommodate anybody because this year obviously is a different story, obviously. So let's make believe it's not this year. Let's make believe it's going to be next year. Things will be a lot better. Go back to normalcy. Adaraba, it's a tremendous chus. You have the zchus of Avraham together with the zchus of Yitzchak, and you have to go in order. Now let's go even a step further. A lot of shuls have a break. Not a lot. I don't know. Everyone is different. And this year, like I told you 100 times, everything is up in the air. But let's talk about a regular situation. They have a shul, a typical shul, let's say a yeshiva sheminyan. They're gonna have a break. Why? Whatever the reason is. So when should you do the Bris Milah? Should you do it at the beginning of the break, or should you do it right before the blowing of the shofar? Well, I know in Chaim Berlin, I doubt in Chaim Berlin, tell you many of that because anyone, I'm not trying to talk about myself. That's always the worst thing. Just to give you an illustration to make it interesting, is Baruch Hashem, a very big oilam there, and it's not uncommon in the past years where there was a Bris Milah. And when did they do the Bris Milah? They did the Bris Milah before the break. which is clearly not ideal. And the only reason why they did it was because it's just not practical. When you have so many people and it's so crowded and everything is already a long davening, so it's just a matter of practicality. The davening, they finish laning. They would finish laning. I remember one year there were two brisim. And I got inside stories of how the Moyalim were warned with the greatest warnings. You better have everything ready to go. You have no right to be matriarch this crowd here. We have 1,000 people here. There are a lot of kids. Women have to hear shofar. People are on a schedule. Everything's on the clock. You better make sure you got everything lined up. You got to, if the kid's not ready, so you'll just have to cut in midair. The knife's going to cut whether the baby's there or not. You better have everything ready to go. And that's right. The second they finished laning, it wasn't even a half a second. Baruch haba, and the bris happened so fast, before you blinked, the bris was over. Because, you know, just not practical. It's not practical yet. But ideally, that's not correct. Ideally, you should have the break, and then tekiya shofar should begin with the bris milah. That's what it says in all the big books. Because you want, it's an opportunity. Bris milah is supposed to be a chelik of the davening. Not every day is there a bris milah, so what can you do? But when you're having a bris milah, the place to do it is right before you do the bris milah, the zechus of Avraham Avinu on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, and then the very next thing, Lam Natseach. What's the news? Lam Natseach Binaginois Miz Mashir, Lam Natseach Lekorach. You start right away, Lam Natseach Lekorach, right away you start. No delay, don't delay. Then there's such a dilemma. Listen to this, that today, many people do not do any more metzitzah b'peh. Today that became a big, big, big hot potato, metzitzah b'peh. But there's such a thing in this, that I'll tell you a good story with the Satmar Rav, that there used to be that sometimes the one who was the Baal Tokeya is also the Moyel. And it was viewed. Okay, today, some people will think I'm crazy for saying this. It's not really crazy. I don't think everyone here will think it, but it was viewed. It's clear as day in almost all of the halachic sram. You're not going to find the halachic sram doesn't say these words. It was viewed as a tremendous chus that the same peh, the same mouth that would do the mitzitza would be the peh that would blow the shofar. Ad kedei kach. The moyel, he does the milah, the Priya, and the Mitzitza. Today, like I told you, today many people do not do Mitzitza B'peh. We live in a very dangerous world. Okay, and with Corona, for sure, everything just exponentially became more complicated. But going back in a very innocent time, people were innocent and pure, Mitzitza B'peh was a pretty standard thing, it seems. Maybe, I don't know, that's what it seems. I don't know, maybe I'm making a mistake, but it seems it wasn't such a big deal. And it was viewed that the moyel who does mitzitza b'peh, the peh that was moitzeitz the dam milah, that same peh is the peh that's now going to put his mouth on the shofar to blow the tekiya. So the zechus, to invoke the zechus of Avram Avinu, and then mamish toich kedei dibur, l'natzeach, he makes the bracha and he blows the shofar, the zechus of Yitzchak. To bring together Avraham and Yitzchak in one moment. And it only can be done, of course, when you make the bris milah right before you blow shofar. Now, today, even in good times, it's probably almost unheard of, what I just told you. It's just not done today. Today, the bris milah and Rosh Hashanah in probably most places is done at home. It's probably done after davening is over entirely. Because it's just not practical. It's just not, there's too many complications today in life. So it just doesn't, probably doesn't happen too often. But theoretically, it's not impossible to do. And theoretically, the ideas are very powerful ideas. At Kedei Kach, that it was so common, there's a big, big topic of discussion. And this may sound a little bit a little bit, some people will get squeezy, a little annoyed at this, is the blood, this is how far it goes. This is the mamash, you go to an extreme. The moel that does mitzitza, you know, he has to clean his mouth. Today you have to clean your mouth a lot more before you do it than after you do it. You have to clean your mouth from the blood. Is the blood considered to be a chatzitza for the shofar? Because ideally, a moel in an ideal world would want that the blood of the mitzitza should remain on his mouth when he puts the shofar to his mouth, to combine Zechor Bris Avram with the Akedas Yitzchak Lazaroi Berachamim Tizka Ad Kedei Kach. Okay, sounds a little strange. I know. I'm just telling this why we're trying to things that are not very practical, just at least to bring out the beauty of the depth of the Yom Hadin. There's a Maisa he brings down. I saw this in the Nitig Arvila, the Satmir Rav. The Satmir Rav was the Baal Tokeh. He was the Baal Tokeh. That's what it says. I guess maybe in the early years. Is that true? Anyone who knows that as a fact? Did anyone know that as a fact that he was the Baal Tokeh? I'm not aware, but it says that the Satmir Rav in the early years was the Baal Tokeh, and he was not a moel. The Satmir Rav was.
He was on the Kasner train, and he blew shofar in Auschwitz.
Okay, but was he the Baal Tokeh in when he came to Brooklyn? When he came,
I do not know.
I don't know. Okay, so it seems to say that he was. In the Nitig Arvil seems to say a story that he was. That's what it says. I don't know. I'm just telling you what it says. And he was not a moel. That it also says. He was not a moel. Okay, that was not his thing. Yet, on Rosh Hashanah, whenever there was a bris in Rosh Hashanah, which it seems probably happened often by him, I don't know, they had a population explosion, he did the mitzitza. He did the mitzitza b'peh. You know, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch HaShulchan, it was very common that they would divide up the kibudim. We don't do this anymore today. It's unheard of today. We once learned about this. We once learned Aruch HaShulchan. You have one person does the milah, and another person does the puriyah, and the third person did the mitzitza. It was like they gave out kibudim. They gave out kibudim. Three people did the bris milah. The milah, the puriyah, the mitzitza. Today, it's unheard of. Unheard of today. Today, the one that does the milah does the priya. Never going to hear a story where you divide up the milah and the priya by two different moyalim. Unheard of. But that's how it was. And the same way they divided the milah and the priya, they also gave the mitzitza to another person. Okay? It used to be they do it today also. Today, because of herpes, so there are sometimes you hear stories where the father is from the machaneh, of those that are very makbid on mitzitza b'peh. I'm not getting into a conversation about this now. If the father is from the machane of people who are makbid on mitzitza b'peh, you will hear stories where the avi haben does the mitzitza. Because it solves some of the problems. It doesn't solve all the problems, certainly not, but people who want to do mitzitza b'peh, number one, you don't want the moel touching your baby, because who knows if the moel is healthy? Who knows how many people he touched? Who knows how sick the moel is? Number two, the moel doesn't want to touch your baby. Your baby came from a mother and a father. Who knows what disease this baby is carrying? So the moel doesn't want to do mitzitza b'peh, and the parents don't want the moel to do. It's mutual. Both of them don't want the mitzitza to be done b'peh because there's a danger both ways. Yet for some reason, none of our business is their mesora, for whatever reason, teaches them that there's something to it. They want it to be done without an instrument in an old-fashioned technique, b'peh. My Rebbe, Rabbi Belsky, very machbed on this. Not only was he machbed on this, he was very machbed to do it right. He held that all the moelim who are doing mitzitza b'peh are not even, it's not even called a mitzitza, period. He held the mitzitza has to be done, mamish, the real way. I'm not going to get graphic what he held to do, and he did it the right way. He did it the right way. He was one of the few people who really did a real mitzitza b'peh la halacha. And whatever. So, when the parent, the father, the avi haben, or maybe even the mother, how do you like that? The mother does mitzitsa of the peh, it takes away many of the health complications. It's even better when the mother does it than when the father does it. It takes away many of the health complications. All right, but not every father is willing to do it. They don't even know what to do, and they can't even watch the bris milah, period. Forget about mitzitsa peh. So it's not very practical. Why am I telling you all this? It says in this book, in the Nitei Gavriel, Ma'isa Shahoy, that the Satnerov, it was his minog, that when there was, he was not a Moyel, but he was the Baal Tokeah. When there was a Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah, they did the Bris Milah right before Tekiah Shofar. And then the Satnerov, he did the Mitzitza. He did not do the Milah, did not do the Priya, but he did the Mitzitza. In order to be Mekayim this Inyan, to combine Zuchor Bris Avram together with the Akedas Yitzchak Lazarei Berachamim Tiskar. And he says something very shocking, which I'm very curious to hear in halachic analysis of what this, I want to hear, I'm very disturbed at this, what it says, because this needs a halachic analysis, is that there was a Mayit Shehoya where the Moel didn't know that the Sad Merav wants to do the Mitzitza. So there was a Moel, I guess a new Moel, who was not familiar with the Minhagim of the Sad Merav, and it was a Bris Milah right before Tekiah Shofar, and the Moel did the Milah, the Priya, and the Mitzitza. The Moel chapped the Mitzitza. He didn't know that the Sad Merav, who was going to blow Shofar, wanted to do the Mitzitza. So he did everything, but it's done. It's over with. We're finished. And now the Sad Merav, wait a minute, you blew it. Pun intended, right? I'm supposed to be doing the mitzitza because I'm blowing shofar. So it says in the story that the Sad Merav, he didn't do another mitzitza, but he did touch the Mekoyim HaMila in order to come in contact with the Mila, the Dam. Now what bothers me very much is being Moshech Dam, I have no doubt the Sad Merav knew what he was doing. The Sad Merav, goin she begoinim, he doesn't need my 2 cents, believe me. The Sad Merav, and this little more ani tzarech, mitzitza is a whole shayla of chil Shabbos, chil yomtev. Being moishech dam is a malacha deraisa. When you're moishech dam, for bris milah, you're allowed to do mitzitza bepeh. You're allowed to be moishech the dam. That's part of the bris milah. That's part of the halach. It's part of the refuah. And in Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. There's nothing to talk about. It's mutter. No matter how you moshach, whether you moshach dam bepeh, whether you moshach with an instrument, it's mutter. Even though by being moshach the dam through mitzitza, it's mamash chil yomtif. So what's very interesting to me is that once already the moil did the mitzitza, it's over. So there's no heter anymore to be moshach more dam. So how then was the Satan Rav allowed to do? He didn't do another mitzitza, but he did something which seemed to have come very close to a whole shayla of a mitzitza, which would be a problem of a halacha. Obviously, there's a lot more that I don't know, but it goes to show how far it went. Today, this type of stuff that I'm telling you, you tell this to someone, they'll look at you like you came from Mars. What in the world are you talking about? The last time I knew about a Bris Milah and Rosh Hashanah, we finished davening and we went 2 o'clock in the afternoon after we ate to the Bris Milah. I don't know what you're talking about. Shofar, Bris Milah, Avram and Yitzchak, a break, before break and shul, davening. But I'm telling you the truth. This stuff is real stuff. Number one, the Bris Milah, it belongs during davening. That's its mocking. Normally we do it at the end of davening, but in Rosh Hashanah, because Bris Milah is Avram Avinu, and because the Shofar, which itself is a very powerful Yisoid, is Yitzchak, and Avram comes before Yitzchak, we do the Bris Milah before we blow Shofar. The ideal time to do the Bris Milah, it's not the practical time to do the Bris Milah, but the most ideal time to do the Bris Milah is immediately before the blowing of the Shofar. Ad kedei kach, that some of the old-time Moyalim would do the mitzitza, they would not even clean their mouth from the Dam HaMila so that they can mix, they can merge the Dam HaMila with the blowing of the Shofar to combine the Zuchus of the Akedah. Ad Kedei Kach. Okay, this is unheard of, these things I'm telling you now. And it's very interesting story with the Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was so disturbed that someone took away from him the opportunity that he went and he made another semi-metzitza. That's how far it went. And the Sodom and Gomorrah didn't live all that long ago. And that's how far he went, that he went and he did another mitzitza, whatever that is, in order to have this chus of merging together the bris milah, the zur bris avram, with the akedas Yitzchak. Okay, now another interesting thing that they do, this is very another fasting, how all halacha gets all intertwined, is there's a period of yom layabasha. What is it? Yom layabasha? The zemer that we sing, let me get a sitter, 1 second. The zemer that we sing, at a bris milah, this really blew my mind. This thing totally blew. It just goes to show how far we are removed from these things. There's a zemer that you're supposed to sing at a bris milah. You look in the siddur.
Chassidim sing it.
Litvaks also sing it. You have to just go to a bris where they're not in a rush. People aren't running to go and pack up in the aluminum foil, the bagels, and the lox. The food is not the most important thing. After davening, yoim layabasha. A yoim, the day, layabasha, nephu mitzulim, the depths were overturned. Shira chadasha. Shibchu ge'ulim. That's the refrain of the piyut. Hitbata besarmis ragle vas anomis. You'd sunk in tarmis, in the mud and the depths, the feet of our enemies. Okay, it goes on. I don't know the exact translation of all of these words, but it goes on after each line of this beautiful piyut, which we really should spend time learning one day. The refrain is Shiro Chadosha Shibchu Geulim. Okay. Biglal Ovos, the very end, it includes Biglal Ovos Toshia Bonim, the Savi Gul of Nevenim. Now, get a load of this. It used to be the Minog, that's what it says in all the big books, that on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, or it could very well be even on a Yom Tov. I'm not sure if it's only Rosh Hashanah or it's any, or even Shabbos. It could be even on a regular Shabbos, on a Yom Tov, when there's a bris milah taking place in shul, during davening, they would add this piyut, and they would sing it, guess when? When they concluded the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. In the Nusach, in davening, right before we begin, Tzur Yisrael, Kuma be'ezras Yisrael. No, before that, let's go back. Here, right?
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in the Shvi Shel Pesach, the Yotzer. It said right before Gal Yisrael.
In the Yotzer, you say there also, on Shvi Shel Pesach.
But before Gal Yisrael.
Before Gal Yisrael. You say it, Mi Chamoicha Boilim Hashem. Mi kamocha neder b'kodesh, noirasi lois oisef oisefele, and now you begin to sing the shira. Why? Because what are the next words of the standard nusach that we say every single day? After you say noirasi lois oisefele, shira chadosha shibichu geulim l'shimcha svas hayam. The refrain of yoim layabasha is Shira Chadosha Shibchu Geulim, exactly these words. So because the refrain of the piyut are these words, and that piyut is all about bris, a chunk of that piyut is about bris milah, okay, that piyut of Yoim Layabosha, it talks about Kriyas Yamsuf, but also mentions bris milah. So the minig was that on a day, Shabbos or Yom Tov only, when there was a bris milah in shul, they would add the piyut right here. And the shul, everyone would either say it or sing it together. Now, what right away there should be alarms going off in your mind. What in the world are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You're adding a piyut before you conclude Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. Don't you know there's a halacha that you have to be soimech geula l'tfila? So I'm a little bit confused about where the location is. It could be that I'm making a mistake. I have to go back and look in the books. It could be that they said the piyut not in the middle of the bracha. It could be I'm making a mistake. They said the piyut, I believe it means after. After Baruch Ato Hashem, go out the middle of a bracha. You can't go play around with the middle of bracha.
No, what I'm saying is that they said on Pesach, you say every day bracha dodi.
Right.
On Shvi Shel Pesach, they say Yom Yalat
Yalat. Where do they say bracha dodi? Where do they say exactly where they say bracha dodi? Where?
It's so before Gal Yisrael.
No. So I'm not so sure that it's before Gal Yisrael. If I'm not mistaken, I'll look it up.
I'll put on the
marks now. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, he's going to get a machzor to see for sure, but if I'm not mistaken, they would say it after you said, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. And now, you begin to say, Yoim Layabosh. And why is that ideal? It's not a good thing to add piyutim in the middle of a bracha. If you want to add piyutim, you add piyutim after you finish the bracha. What are all the alarms going off in your mind? How are you allowed to eat a piyut after Goal Yisrael and Hashem Sefasai Tiftach? Everyone knows that you're not allowed to be mafsik between Geula L'Tfilo. After you say Goal Yisrael, you say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. You can't be mafsik. So what's the answer? Important halachic principle. There's no din of being soymech Geula L'Tfilo on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
It said right before Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael.
Before you say Baruch Ato Hashem.
It's in the middle of Tzui Yisrael.
Okay. I have to. I don't have the sefer in front of me. Okay, it could be in a chanami. You say.
I have a max. I'm looking at the maxa right now.
Okay, I believe you. I have no question. So then maybe they said the piyut right there as well. If I'm not mistaken, where I saw this, it says that they said the piyut of Yom LaYabasha. I don't know, maybe there could be a different minhagim. After they concluded the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. Now that in a way is more ideal because you're not tampering with the bracha. The problem is, how can you dare be mafsik bein geula litzfila? How dare you? Everyone knows you're not allowed to be mafsik. And the answer is the din, this is something that most people don't know, including me, is that, it's obvious to me, that's pashut me, but how do you know that the din of being soymech geula l'tfila, there is no din of being soymech geula l'tfila on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The inyan of being soymech geula l'tfila is only during Yemos HaChol. Because Yemos HaChol, the tefillah is a bakoshois, private bakoshois. But when Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't make private bakoshois in tefillah. That's not the purpose. The din of being semech ulu tefillah, there are many perushim as to what it means. But the basic gist, the basic common denominator of what it means, not for now, is you're going now into prayer. You're going to make from HaKadosh Baruch Hu multiple requests. You can make demands. You need to come armed. You need to come with weapons. You need to prepare yourself. Geula is the arming of your tefillah. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not making any requests. I'm not asking you, Hashem, anything. I'm just coming to praise you. And therefore, you don't need to be armed. If you don't need to be armed, then there's no prohibition, there's nothing to lose by being mafsik bein geula l'tfila. This is a very important yisoid because it becomes a person comes late davening shmona esrei without saying birchus kriya shma. There are a lot of nafkaminas. Basically, shachris turns into a mairif on Shabbos and Yom. There's a lot of big halachic nafkaminas between shachris and mairif. If you come late to shul, you don't just say shmona esrei. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't go like that. You come late to shul, you have to say Birchus Kriya Shema first before you say Shmona Esrei. No matter what the consequences are. If you come late to Ma'ariv, you just jump into Shemona Esrei. You walk into Ma'ariv, oh, they're standing Shemona Esrei, so you right away, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, you daven the Shemona Esrei. And when Ma'ariv is over, you go back and you say the Birchos Kriya Shema, Ma'ariv Arov, Ma'ariv Asaylam, Emes Ve'emuna, Go'al Yisrael Ashkiveinu. What's the chilek? Why Shachris are you not allowed to skip and Ma'ariv you're allowed to skip? Because Shachris, you must, b'li yotzei min haklal. No ands if or buts. Your tefillah is not going to work. It's not going to be effective unless you soimech geula l'tefillah. So don't waste your time by davening a Shemona Esrei without first saying Birchos Kriya Shema and concluding with Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. By Ma'ariv, there's no din being soimech geula l'tefillah. That's how it is. That's as Gemara, that's Madrasha, there's no din. That's why we say Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'yamein. And that's why we say Kaddish. And that's why Friday night we say V'shamru, Tikkun B'chodesh Shofar. That's why you can clap Yalla V'yavo. It's a whole different ball game at night. Guess what? Shabbos Shachris and Yom Tov Shachris is like Ma'ariv every night. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't make a private request. So there's no din, smicho gul l'tfila. Oh, there's no din, smicho gul l'tfila. You can add into the nusach a piyut. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. You just concluded a bracha that says Shira Chadosh Shibchu Geulim L'Shim Chasfas Hayam. So you know what? Today is a bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses. And as we mentioned 100 times, a bris milah is meant to be a chelik of the davening. So once we're going to do the ceremony, you should also embellish the prayer of as well by adding things into the davening that reflects the bris milah. So there's no harm on Shabbos and Yom Tov adding the piyut of Shira, of adding Yom Layabasha into the Nusach after Goal Yisrael before you begin the Shemona Esrei. This is what you do in Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, when there's a bris milah, this is unheard of today. Today, you tell this to someone. They'll look at you. Tell the rabbi. There's a bris milah today. So let's say Yom Layabasha when we finish Goal Yisrael. They'll look at you and they'll tell you fell out of Mars. I don't know what you're talking about. It's taka true because today it's unheard of. We don't do this yet. These minhagim have fallen by the wayside. We live in America, the global melting pot. One size fits all, so a lot of these beautiful ancient minhagim have fallen away. And anyway, no one has patience for these things. And unfortunately, no one even knows what these words mean, like myself. So what's the purpose of singing these songs when you don't even know what you're saying? But in any event, it opens up, at least in learning, a new appreciation of when there's a bris milah. It's a whole different davening. In Rosh Hashanah, you can say a piyut between Goal Yisrael and Hashem Sefasa. There's no din gula tefila, and there's a bris milah, and you want to, especially on Rosh Hashanah, when you're desperate to be me'orer the zechus, every possible merit that Klal Yisrael has to be menatzeach on the Yom HaDin, ma tov ma noim. It's a wonderful thing to take advantage of all these opportunities. All right, so that pretty much is our topic of bris milah. Now, also, by the way, interesting, what happened, you make a bar prayer gof, and here's this interesting thing, there's another side point. Wait a minute, when you make a bris milah, before you blow shofar, who's going to drink the wine? Who's going to drink the wine? It's a big problem. So if you took a break, and you made Kiddush, you have to make Kiddush, right? You have to make Kiddush. You just can't make a boy priagofen. You have to first make Kiddush. So you want to say that the boy priagofen and the bris milah is going to be the Kiddush also? Can that be? Not really. This Borei Pri HaGofen was established for the Bris Milah. It was not established for the Kiddush Hayoyim. It doesn't seem that you can say that the Borei Pri HaGofen is going to be the Kiddush of a Rosh Hashanah. You need a separate. So what are you going to do? So I guess if you make Kiddush, you have a break and you make Kiddush, you don't have a problem. But let's say you did not make Kiddush, and let's say you're from the Machaneh that does not make Kiddush before Tekiyah Shofar, you know what it becomes? Like a tinus. What do you do when there's a tinus? Who do you give the wine to on Tisha B'Av? Who do you give the wine to? A tinaik. You give the wine to a child. So it turns out that you're going to make Rosh Hashanah into Yom Kippur. Let's say there's a bris mila on Yom Kippur.
That's funny, because...
So what do you do? What?
The nusach of the Rosh Hashanah Kiddush.
Yeah. There is no nusach. I mean, we say a pasuk. We say a pasuk. Tikkun b'chodesh shofar. Eilen mo'edei Hashem. These are very loose minhagim to say psukim. The ikka kiddush is to make a borei pri hag. You don't make a special bracha. You make a borei pri hagofen. This borei pri hagofen was for the brits, not proper. So it becomes, if no one wants to drink the wine because everyone's very religious and everyone's, you know, they don't want to eat before tkiyah shofar. So then it becomes like, what happens if a bris milah on Yom Kippur? Who drinks the wine? You give the wine to a child.
Oh.
To a child. Also, another very big problem, sukkahs. Sukkahs is also because you're not supposed to drink yayin outside the sukkah. You're not supposed. So let's say you have a bris milah, and the bris milah is in shul. It's in shul. Who drinks the wine? There's a general question. Who drinks the wine when you make a bris milah on sukkahs in the Beis HaKnesses? You're not supposed to eat outside of the sukkah. So what do? Big, this is a major issue. Some hold that it's only derech harai. You can drink the wine, the mole can drink the wine in the shul, you don't have to drink it, it's not such a big deal. But by the way, you have to have kiddush also. I mean, what are you going to do? You have to have kiddush. How are you allowed to drink the wine after if you make a bris milah in shul on sukkahs after davening before kiddush? Also, you have to hear kiddush. So let's say you heard kiddush. So, but you're not in the sukkah; you're in shul. So for that reason, it's very, very common. People make the bris milah in the sukkah. They make the bris milah in the sukkah. It avoids the problem that way. That way, when you drink the borei pri hagofen, koyshal bracha. You're drinking in the sukkah itself. But who says making it in the sukkah is correct? Isn't it much more mechudar to make the bris milah chelik of the tefillah? You have all these dilemmas. All the ikar adin, the bris milah, should be a chelik of the tefillah. But in this instance, that's going to make a halachic challenge that you're not going to really be permitted to drink the yayin, unless you want to rely upon leniencies that it's not called an achila, not so simple to say that. So you want to give it to a child? It's not nice. A koishal bracha, the koishal bracha brismili, you give it to a child, you push it away. So you're going to take it out of davening? You're going to go and have a ceremony in the sukkah? That's not proper. If you have an opportunity to have the brismila chelik of davening, to take it away from the davening, that's not ideal. So what, you can maybe daven in the sukkah? Nah, it's not going to go over very well. Go daven in a little teeny sukkah. Most people are not going to be very happy to daven in a sukkah, especially this year when we have other issues to deal with. In other words, in halacha, you always have dilemmas that don't have perfect solutions. And here is another example: when you have the bris milah on Rosh Hashanah, you have to make the borei pri hagofen and you have to drink, and you have to figure out what you're going to do. You're going to make kiddush before, you blow shofar, so you can drink it. And drinking the wine is not a small thing. It's not a, there are people, you know, people who, you know, many of us, oh, you don't want to drink the wine. I know people, they go to a wedding, I've seen this. They go to a wedding, and they make the borei pri hagofen. The chos and kala drink a teeny little sip, if at most. What happens to the rest of the wine? People go to weddings every single day. What happens? There are two full glasses of wine, white wine, of course, so it shouldn't spill anyone's clothing, on the white gown of the kala. And on the side of the kedushin, he makes the borei pri hagofen on the erisin, and he drinks a teeny little sip sometimes, and then he gives to the chosan and kala, they drink a teeny little sip. And what happens to that glass of wine? They put it on the table in the back, and you never see it again. And then they do the ceremony. Haret mikudesh aslib, etabat zo, kedas moshe v'yisrael. And then they read the ksuba. And then they call up the seven blessings. And they go through seven blessings, asher bara, and then misveh chason im hakala. And then they give to the chason, they give to the kala, pick up the veil, and then that cup of wine goes on the back table and no one ever sees it again. and then they sing Imesh Kochech, they break the glass, Mazel Tov, everyone runs out. And when it's all over, those two lonely glasses of wine are sitting on the back table. They're just sitting there all alone, they're so lonely, and the Chosen Kala drank a teeny mashu from it. What happened to all the halachas of a revius? You're supposed to drink a Malay Lugma, at least a 1.5 ounces. It's a shame. A lot of these weddings, they don't even drink a Malay Lugma. You're supposed to drink, when you make Kiddush, you're supposed to drink at least 1.5 ounces to be Yotzei the Kiddush. Bidi Evid, if you do not drink 1.5 ounces, you just toim a mashahu, you Yotzei. Person makes Kiddush, and he just takes a teeny little sip, and let's say you have a shul, 100 people in the shul, a person makes Kiddush for the whole shul, and he drinks a teeny little sip, less than 1.5 ounces, it's a very big bidiyaved. Everyone in shul is yoytzei the kiddush. The chatchil, the one that makes the kiddush, should drink at least 1.5 ounces, which is the equivalent of a disposable schnapps cup and a half. That is yoytzei the kiddush l'chor l'chatchila. He does not need to make an al hagefen because he did not drink a revius. A revius is double, is 3 ounces. 1.5 ounces, 1.6 ounces is a roi revius, that's equivalent to a maloim lugma, and then is yoytzei, and everyone is yoytzei. But what happens if you drink less than 1.6 ounces? Bidi eved yoytzei. So by every single chasna, the bidi eved, they drink a mash, they make the baruch ha-bar priya gofen. It's not about being yoytzei. It's just a matter of you made a baruch, you don't need to be yoytzei kiddush, so it's not really the same. It's a little bit more lenient. But still, in all, you make a baruch priya gofen, you're not on a mitzvah, and you're drinking less. So I know people, I can name you people, that when the wedding, the ceremony is over, and everyone runs away, and then the room gets empty, and on the back table, there's those two glasses of wine. One was for the erisin, one was for the nesuin, and that barely, the chosen kala barely took a sip from, and the mesad de kedushin shook his hand on the cup, and some of it spilled on his finger, and he licked his finger, and you have left in the cup, probably 98% of the cup is still left, unless it got spilled on the way back to the table. They go to that cup, and they drink them both up. They drink them up. I know a woman who does this. They drink up the cup good to the last drop. Maxwell House. They don't leave over one mashu. They hold that cup to be tremendous bracha. What better koyshal bracha than a shidduch? A shidduch is an act of God. What Eliezer say? He says, "May Hashem yotza hadavar." This shidduch, who in the world would put this chosen kala together? How in the world did this happen? They got married. Every shidduch is a miracle. And that miracle was concluded with koyshal bracha. You're not going to drink that koyshal bracha? You're not going to drink that kosher bracha? You're going to let it sit there on the back table and let the janitor come and spill it out? Are you kidding? You know what that kosher bracha is worth? This was, may Hashem yotza hadavar? It was an act of God. And on that act of God, we made a bar priya gofen. You're not going to go and fight over it? People should be literally killing each other to have a sip of that kosher bracha. It's amazing. It really is. So by bris milah, go talk to a person who went through a b'nei olam to have a baby. And how all the agmas nefesh and the bizyonos and the fundraising and this and that. And wow, they had a baby. A miracle. Go back 20 years ago, it would have been a medical impossibility. Impossibility. And what happened they were able to do today is literally a miracle beyond miracle. Bamish to pull... to create people out of thin air. It's like beyond belief what they can do today. And you have a baby, you make a bris milah, and you make on the bris milah boirei priya gofen. You're just gonna let that wine just go down the sink, go into the sewer, New York City sewer water? You gotta be out of your mind. You mamash have to be nitrifadaitai after the miracle that has happened that a person had a healthy baby. And now you zeichet to be machnis that baby lachnisa bevris Avram Avinu, and you make on the ceremony a bar priya gofen, and to take that yayin and to spill it down New York City sewer, you gotta be mamash out of your mind. people should be lining up out the street to fight over the zechus to be toyim from the kois shel bracha. If this is not a kois shel bracha, then what is a kois shel bracha? So it's not so pashut. Rosh Hashanah, you make a bris milah, and now it's before tkiyah shofar. You've never, your whole life, you pride yourself. Look at the dilemma of a father. His whole life, he prided himself. He never, ever ate before tekiyas. He takes pride. You know, he's meiser nefesh, tekiyas shofar. By him, it means a lot. And now Hashem gave him a bracha. He gave him a baby. And now they have a bris milah. And they make the bar priya gofen. Who gets to drink the bar priya gofen? Where does that yayin go? They can go give it to a child. The kids, and that's very nice. You give it to a child, give it to a tinnik. On Yom Kippurim, you have no choice. You have no choice. On Yom Kippurim, you give it to a child. But today's not Yom Kippur. Today's Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to eat. What do you do with it? You want to save it for later? Maybe you could do that. I mean, right now, you give a tinnik a mashu, that it should be, it should not be a brachal of atala, even though anyway it's not a brachal of atala, even if no one drinks by brisu, but still you want someone to drink a little bit, so it shouldn't be a brachal of atala, and then you have all the leftover yayin, you put it away, make sure it doesn't go down the sink, you save it for after you finish the tekiyas, unless you're gonna make kiddush, you may already made kiddush, and I told, like, anyway, I told you today the whole thing is moot, because today nobody is making a bris milah in shul, especially this year. Nobody is making a bris milah in shul. That's probably the first thing that's going to go from even the shuls that have absolutely no takanas. They're not going to be making a bris milah. I can't believe it. That's going to happen this year. Mm. They're going to have a bris milah in shul. So anyway, the whole issue is moot. But theoretically, okay, in the world of theory, in appreciating what the Yanim are about, this is all something to think about. What's going to be with the Bare Pri Hagofen. Another thing, what name do you give the baby? What do you mean name to give the baby? If I don't name the baby after my wife's grandfather, they'll kill me. I won't live out the year. Right? If you're not going to name the baby after...
You mean something with a theme?
So it appears, and this is written in all the big books from the days of old, a baby that has a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah, you got to be out of your mind not to name the baby Yitzchak. That's just how it goes. Hashem already has named the baby for you. That decision has been taken away from you. Don't tell me about your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandfather three steps removed. Forget about that. The baby has a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah before Tekiyah Shofar, you name the baby Yitzchak. My question to you is, now that's what it says in all the books, right away alarms were ringing in my head, like, why Yitzchak? You should name him Avraham. Isn't that the reason why we're doing the bris milah before Shofar and not after Shofar? Zechor bris Avraham, and then we go into Yitzchak. It seems not. It seems ha'iluchod v'ha'iluchod. The bris milah is the bris Avraham, but the mitzvahs hayoim, the mitzvahs hayoim. This goes to show how far Yitzchak's influence appears on this day. The mitzvahs hayoim is shofar. Yoim teruah. It doesn't say chag teruah. It doesn't say chag tekiyah. When it comes to Pesach, it's chag hamatzos. Chag Pesach, Shavuos, it's Atzeres. The only time you have the word Yoim and the mitzvah is Rosh Hashanah. It's Yoim Teruah, a day of Teruah. That Teruah is Yitzchak, Elish al Yitzchak. The name of the baby is Yitzchak, because that is the mitzvahs hayoim of the day. And it appears from things that I read back in the day, people wouldn't even have a hava amina to name the baby anything other than Yitzchak when the bris milah takes place on Yitzchak, no matter how many family members are standing over you and warning you with the grois azharis, if you don't name your baby after this person, you're not going to be invited to come for Shabbos anymore. you're not going to... It doesn't matter. That's the way it goes. And obviously today, I can tell you with certainty, that's not the way it goes. Today, you name the baby, everyone's going to name the baby after a relative. Whatever, unless you have no name. Well, no, it says not. It says you should dafka name Yitzchak, not Avraham. Interesting, it says not Avraham. The Iker is Yitzchak. The mitzvah's hayoyim, that's a very important point. It doesn't say anywhere to name the baby Avraham. It's a very interesting point. The point is to name the baby Yitzchak. I wonder if you have a bris milah erev Rosh Hashanah, l'cha'oyro, you should name the baby Avraham. And you have the baby on Rosh Hashanah, and the bris milah on erev Rosh Hashanah, you would name it Avraham, it would appear. You have a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah, you name the baby Yitzchak. Today I told you it's moot because people do not follow this rule. Today, if the baby has a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to name it after the relative. That's just the way it is. You're not gonna deviate from the minhag. There's a relative in the family, a grandfather. If you know what's good for you, you're gonna name the baby after the grandfather finished. In a situation when you're up to child number 37, so then, okay, we named already after every long lost relative. Even there, he went to the archives, he dug up every long lost relative they can possibly find, and we named every single relative. And now we're up to baby number 37 in this family. So him we'll name Yitzchak. But today, obviously, it's not the minig is you're not makbid on naming the baby. It's like you name the baby after your relatives. Question, one more question at a time. It's late. A question, do you say aleinu? Let's say you do this ceremony. You do this ceremony right before blowing of the shofar. Do you say aleinu? There are different minhagim. Some say absolutely not. Aleinu comes at the end of davening. You don't say aleinu. You only say aleinu when you're leaving shul. You're not leaving shul. You're blowing shofar. Don't say aleinu. It's not the time to say aleinu on a kaddish yosem. You don't do that. You go right into lamatzeach, livnei karach mizmar. Others say no. The reason why you say aleinu is a general question. By a bris milah is sheloi osanu ki goyei ho aratzois veloi samanu ki mishpachois ho adama. We have a bris milah and they don't. They are arelim. We are mohulim. And aleinu captures that theme. Saying aleinu by a bris milah is a big dilemma. Is it just stam at the end of davening? Or is no, aleinu is the tefillah of the accompanying tefillah that is said by the tzibur at a bris milah. And therefore you gotta say aleinu no matter what. Right before tekiyah shofar, you have to say aleinu. It turns out that you say aleinu a lot of times. You say aleinu during musaf. You do kairim when you say aleinu during musaf, chazar sashatz, end of davening, and you can say aleinu four times. Isn't that amazing? On Rosh Hashanah, if you have a bris milah in shul, on Rosh Hashanah, you say aleinu four times. After the bris milah, during your Yisrael and Shemona Esrei, you bow kairim during chazar sashatz, and when davening is over, you say aleinu a fourth time. Others say, no, you don't say aleinu because there's no need to say aleinu. All right. I think we've covered bris milah more than enough. Mm-hmm. And all right, that's it. I didn't think it would take so long to do this, but I thought it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. You did. Tomorrow we'll continue with something else.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good day.
Today is the Yartzeit of Rav Moshe Bick in Bar
Park. Ah.
Okay,
who's the young and Elena?
Oh, yeah. Did you talk? You still here? We left.
Errands, Baruch Hashem, still doing some errands.